Bhagavad Lila, 10th Canto, Chapter 87, Shruti Vandanam, Prayers by the Personified Vedas. As an introductory note, in Vishwanath Chakravartipad's commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam, which are called Sararta Darshini, he has extensive commentaries on the 10th Canto chapters. So this particular chapter, 87, Prayers by the Personified Vedas, is a rather small chapter compared to the other chapters of the 10th canto. There are only 49 verses in this chapter 87. Yet, Vishwanath Chakravarti gives his longest tikkas, longer than any other chapter, even Rasleela and Gopi Geet and Veno Geet, Brahma Geet. He gets 41 pages of commentary on 49 verses of chapter 87. And in these prayers by the Shrutis, the personified Vedas, glorifying the Lord, they fully contain all the aspects of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Very powerful prayers. Starts off with verse 1. Parikshit asks Shukadeva, since the Supreme Absolute Truth, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he is totally transcendental, how can you describe transcendence with material words? Because the Vedas become limited because the language itself is limiting. It's material language, material words. So they can maybe Vedas can describe the material world and the qualities of material nature. But how can the Vedas describe God, who has no material qualities? He's transcendental to everything. So to answer this question, Shukadeva Goswami recites a history of how once Narada Rishi was traveling throughout the universe and he went to visit Naranarayan Rishi, who was living in India, what was known as Bharadvarsha. He was living in Badrinath at his ashram. Naranarayan Rishi is actually a form of God, and he's living in India in Badrikashram. And since the first day of Brahma, he's been undergoing severe austerities in India, or Bharadvarsha, for the benefit of human society. So Narada Rishi went to Badrikashram, or Badrinath, what we call Badrinath, and visited Naranarayan Rishi in a village called Kalapagram. There are many sages gathered with Narayan Rishi. Narada offered his obeisances, and he asked the same question that Maharaj Parikshit asked him. In response, Narayan Rishi referred to higher authorities by describing to Narada how this same topic had been discussed on Janaloka a long time ago, when there was a meeting of important demigods and rishis. During that meeting, although Narada Muni is also an important rishi, he was absent from that meeting because he was visiting Lord Narayan on the island of Swetadweep. So he was not there in that discussion of devas and rishis in Janaloka. The discussions about the Absolute Truth were so intricate that even the Vedas were not able to answer the intricate questions that were raised. Sanandanan Kumar was selected to speak amongst all the qualified rishis, and they were all equally qualified. So the question was asked, if Brahman cannot be defined because it has no class, substance, quality, or action, no class, jati, no substance, dravya, no quality, gun, and no action, kriya. Therefore, how can the Vedas describe Brahman by direct meaning, sakshat, rather than by indirect reference? Brahman is beyond qualities, nirgun, and is beyond substance, such as earth, and beyond the actions of an object whose nature is incomplete. Brahman is also beyond class, since that inheres in substance, action, and quality. Shukadeva began by saying, before he cited the story, started reciting. Sukadeva mentioned one verse. He said that Sri Shuka Vacha text 2, but Indriya Mana Pranan Jananam Asri Jat Prabhu Matrartam Chavavartam Cha Atmane Kapanaya Cha. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, the Supreme Lord manifested the material intelligence, senses, mind, and vital air of all living entities so that they could indulge their desires for sense gratification, take repeated births to engage in fruitive activities, and become elevated in future lives and ultimately attain liberation. In other words, Vishwanath says that Shukadeva is saying, the Supreme Lord did this in order to make the jivas use their mind, intelligence, senses, and pranas to worship him. To worship him. Very long purport. One excerpt. From the purport to text 2, Vishwanath quotes Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Sapundarik Nayanam Megabham Vaidyutambaram Duibujam Mona Mudradyam Vanamalinam Ishvaram. The Supreme Lord, appearing in his two-armed form, had divine eyes, a complexion the color of a cloud, and garments that resembled lightning. He wore a garland of forest flowers, and his beauty was enhanced by his pose of meditative silence. The transcendental intelligence and senses of the Siddha, perfected devotee, can correctly perceive Krishna's purely spiritual beauty. In the realizations of a Siddha are echoed in Gopal Tapanu's comparison of Krishna's eyes, body, and clothing to a lotus, a cloud, and lightning. For the sadhaka, however, who is a neophyte devotee, Sri Krishna's spiritual eyes, body, and clothing are not actually perceivable to his intelligence and senses. Nevertheless, by reading such verses as this one from Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Sat Pundarik Nayanam Megabham Vaidyut Tambaram, the sadhaka thinks of the wonderful beauty of Krishna. Then, concentrating his mind on Krishna in this way, the sadhak gradually becomes joyful under the impression that he is meditating on the Lord. Though he is not fully realized and cannot even meditate steadily on the effulgence surrounding Krishna's transcendental body. But Sri Krishna, on the other hand, being moved by the waves of his boundless mercy, thinks, how wonderful that my devotee is meditating on me. Then when the sadhaka's devotion matures, Krishna brings that beloved devotee to his feet and engages him in confidential service. Thus it is concluded that only by the mercy of Krishna can the Vedas convey the transcendental form and identity of the Lord. Of course, Narada Muni told the story, which we already mentioned, the sages. He offered so many wonderful prayers to the Lord. The Shruti said, Sri Shruti Uchu, Jaya 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 Jam Majita Dosha Darbita Gunam. Victory, victory to you, O unconquerable Lord. By your very nature, you are perfectly full in all opulences. Therefore, please defeat the eternal power of illusion, who assumes control over the modes of nature to create difficulties for the conditioned souls. O you who awaken all the energies of the moving and non-moving embodied beings, sometimes the Vedas can recognize you, and sometimes you, as you sport with your material and spiritual potencies. We will recite selected prayers in summary form of the prayers of the personified Vedas, text 17. The Shruti said, O my Lord, only if they become your faithful followers, devotees, are those who breathe actually alive. Otherwise, their breathing is like that of a blacksmith's bellows. It is by your mercy alone that the elements, beginning with the Mahatattva and false ego, created the egg of this universe, Jagaranda. Among the manifestations known as Anamoya and so forth, you are the ultimate one, entering within the material coverings, along with the living entity, and assuming the same form as those he takes. Distinct from the gross and subtle material manifestations, you are the reality underlying them all. Again, it's a very long, interesting purport. One section of the same purport, the text 17, Vishnath explains, by the reference given in a different shruti, Atmani Tishtam, the term Vigyan Maya refers to the Jivatma, and Anandamaya refers to the indwelling supersoul of all beings, the Paramatma, who is the supreme object of worship. This is the Vaishnava conclusion, based on the Brihat Aranyaka Upanishad. Therefore, the crest jewels of the Shrutis worship Sri Krishna, as shown in the Brihad Vamana Purana, wherein it describes how the Shrutis attain the service of Krishna as Brajagopis. Thus, the Shrutis conclude that Krishna is the most attractive among all the personal forms of Godhead. Understanding this, Narada Muni will later offer obeisances to Krishna. Text 18. The Shruti said, among the followers of the methods set forth by the great sages, those with less refined vision worship the Supreme as present in the region of the abdomen, while the Arunis worship God in heart, in the subtle center from which all pranic channels emanate. From there, O unlimited Lord, these worshippers raise their consciousness upward to the top of the head, where they can perceive you directly. Then, passing through the top of the head toward the supreme destination, they reach that place from which they will never again fall into this world, to birth and death. Of course, this verse is speaking about yoga, with the Paramatma being the object of worship for the yogis. Vishnath, in his purport to text 18, he's rephrasing that, O Ananta, the soul rises up toward the head, the effulgent location where you, the Paramatma, are perceived. In other words, beginning from the Muladhara chakra at the base of the spine and passing through the heart, the soul rises up to the Brahma Rundra, the topmost chakra at the roof of the brain. In actual fact, the Dham, or place of the Supersoul, appears in all of these locations. Having attained that topmost Dham on the top of the head, the yogis do not fall down again into the cycle of samsara. Those whose vision is clouded identify Brahman with the abdomen, while the Aranis worship Brahman in the heart. But one who is truly Brahman realized travels upward from the heart to take shelter of the Lord who is manifested at the top of the head. Chandogya Upanishad 866 says there are 101 subtle pranic channels emanating from the heart. One of these, the Sushumna, extends to the top of the head. By passing up through this channel, one transcends death. The other channels lead in all directions to various kinds of rebirth. Text 19. After creating this world, God entered in it. The Lord enters the material world, however, without forming any binding connection to it. It only seems that he enters. This means that the Paramatma enters the body of every living entity, from Brahma to the germ, and exhibits different degrees of his potency according to each soul's capacity for enlightenment. Thus, among all these impermanent species, your personal form with its particular qualities, sarupam savishesham, remains permanently as the supreme reality. Therefore, those who have the highest developed and pure intelligence, they know your eternal, supreme, and undifferentiated Sarup. Your personal form, my Lord, personal form, Ekarasam, is the unchanging embodiment of pure ecstatic enjoyment, Kevala Ananda Swara Sarup, residing in all the temporary bodies. In other words, Sri Krishna eternally maintains his personal form of immeasurable, unalloyed spiritual pleasure. Who are they who know this? They are those who are completely free of material designations and dealings. They are devoid of karmic results in this life and the next. Because you, my Lord, are the source of everything. Your designations of being independent are not subject to any ranking of hierarchy. Since your opulences never fail, you are worthy of worship. To be continued, part 2.